Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is episode 21-06. Wow. It's March tomorrow, March 1st, 2021. Lady Liberty and I will be talking about the CPAC, the Conservative Political Action. I always forget the title of it. I'll think of it. But, it's American Conservative Union, CPAC, the Conservative Political Action. It's not committee. It's political. It's Committee for American Conservative. Conference. Thank you. I remembered. Okay. So. These are taking place supposedly, across the United States to really push for our, not necessarily Republican, but conservative ideals. However, it's generally the platform for the American Conservative Union is, or CPAC, is in line with what you would normally find on the Republican platform. That's the PDF document they put out saying these are the things we stand for as Republicans. If you are calling yourself a Republican, these are the things you are telling your constituents you will, these are the values that you hold, these are the things that you will fight for, these are the things you will fight against, this is who you are, it defines you. And so this is why we can call somebody a rhino, a Republican in name only. Well, who's to say what a Republican can or can't stand for, or what issues they can align themselves with, or, they can have their own opinion on things. Well, there are certain things that you absolutely cannot deviate from, and that is in your party's platform. Otherwise, you can't call yourself a Republican. You can't call yourself a pear tree if you're producing cherries, right? You can't call yourself a Republican if you're not producing this other fruit, which is a traditional American ideal. So those are outlined in the Republican platform. And those are produced at the federal level, the Republican Party, and then at each state level. I know that Washington and Idaho's are just beautiful written documents. That's the standard to hold your elected officials to. When you see them saying, I'm a Republican and I'm taking this position or that position, you can say, no, you hold that up to them. That's the standard. If they're deviating from that, they need to step down. They need to stop lying and calling themselves a Republican. Anyway, a little side trail that I didn't really mean to go down, but I thought I would bring that up. It's important that that we're trying to vote for are actually standing for the things that we hire them to. But anyway, we've got other items that I wanted to talk about tonight. I just wanted to say Lady Liberty and I will be discussing some of our thoughts on that tomorrow night. I want to probably cover a little bit of that tonight. We're going to do three segments. Bring Lady Liberty in here in segment three and pull her into the conversation. So we got a lot to get to here in this little probably 45 minutes to an hour show, starting off with the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by Prepping 2.0, Glenn Tate. With the 299 Days book series, Shelby Gallagher, the 3-book series author, the series A Great State. husband and wife team there behind the microphone in the studio at Prepping 2.0 to help take your preps to the next level. Remember, keep Glenn Tate in your prayers. He is battling cancer. This just came up here in the last couple of weeks. He finally announced it Friday, so then I felt, you know, that it was acceptable to be able to bring it up so that you guys know a couple of reasons. He wanted to, I'll take a little side issue here. I'll mention this tomorrow morning. If you didn't catch the morning commute on Friday, this is why he wanted to talk about it. And he talked about it on his podcast, Prepping 2.0. This is COVID related. We were talking about this, kind of laughing about it. By the way, his spirits are up. He's doing, you know, the prognosis is excellent. But he has had to go through surgery already, and he will be doing chemotherapy and other treatments. But it is much more invasive than it had to be if this were caught earlier, like 6 months ago when he had a colonoscopy scheduled. And Governor Inslee in Washington State decided that those type of routine procedures, you know, colonoscopy, non-essential. So, nope, can't get it done. So this lingered and waited, and he had no symptoms. It was just a routine procedure, a checkup. But they did discover it, and it is very survivable and treatable, and he's well on his way. So our spirits are up. Remember him in your prayers. But again, he didn't have to start getting things cut out of him and have to go through chemotherapy and all this other nonsense. It wasn't necessary, but it's due to policies, knee-jerk reaction to a scam-demic. It's a real virus, but it is not a pandemic. It does not meet the requirements to be called a pandemic, and certainly is not deserving of the way that they are reacting. But this is a great reset. This is what they're talking about. The transfer of power under, you know, lies, which is usually how tyrannies rise up and take power. It's usually some type of a series of lies to get the power that they are craving. But anyway, yeah, remember Glenn in your prayers. They're doing good. So but that's his testimony, and that's what he's sharing. So I thought I'd share it with you guys as well. Israel strikes Syria in response to an Iranian attack on an Israeli commercial ship. Now, as you know, since this new regime has taken over, and I'm glad that President Trump brought this up yesterday in his CPAC speech, this administration, right off the bat, they lifted the sanctions on Iran without even beginning negotiations for these nuclear arms negotiations to get these guys to scale back. And of course, they're being defiant. So we had hardcore sanctions on them. It was putting the hurt on them. Well, the Biden regime comes and lifts those sanctions right off the bat. And then they say, now we want to have a discussion with you about your nuclear ambitions. And they're like, phooey on you. We don't have nothing to talk to you about. And so, yeah, it was just an absolutely bonehead move. But what it did was empowered Iran. We're going to start seeing things probably, you know, really escalate. It was positive to see all the conservative leadership and President Trump and everybody talking yesterday and, you know, hope and all this kind of stuff. But the fact is, this regime has control. They have operational control. Communists have operational control of our government. Our policies are assets. They're being aided by collaborators, so they can do a tremendous amount of damage. I'm not really thinking about the election in 2024. I'm wondering if we're going to survive to that point. I'm wondering if President Trump is going to survive to that point after essentially announcing that he is going to run for president in 2024, which has probably made all these the globalists, their heads just exploded. Now they're trying to think of ways of getting rid of him and getting away with it, because he is the biggest threat that has ever come along to the globalist agenda that they are they're very ambitious. Let's put it that way. So as a result, now we have these Iran-backed militias getting taken out in a retaliatory strike. Israel strikes Syria in response to an Iranian attack on an Israeli commercial ship. Rocket attacks involving a militia, apparently backed also friendly to or backed by Iran. So the militia saying they have the right to retaliate. And then on top of this, a couple of days later, we get the Houthi rebels out of Yemen fire missiles over Saudi Arabia. Now, these are Iranian-backed fighters firing missiles now over Saudi Arabia. Missiles shot down near Riyadh. Been there. And so things are really heating up again in the Middle East. We have weak leadership. Well, I have communist leadership. But so we're just keeping an eye on that. Know that we're living in a different world now. That doesn't really affect you, a missile being fired in Saudi Arabia. It doesn't affect you directly yet. But conflict with Iran absolutely could. Well, things are just going to get really wild here over the next few years. But, you know, as a Christian, I think that this is the end times that really we're being ushered into. I love the idea of President Trump running again in 2024 and getting back in and really undoing it and sticking it to the globalists and messing up their program and everything. But you can't count on it. Anyway, that's what I want to talk about in the next segment. If we get a chance to bring it up, I should be able to. From the National File, McConnell, the anti-American so-called Republican, is going to announce that he's going to support anti-gun, pro-Antifa Biden Attorney General pick, Merrick Garland. He doesn't hesitate to support Biden's left-wing radical Attorney General nominee. And he is, by the way, the Senate Minority Leader. And they've got him listed here, Republican Tennessee. That's false. He's Kentucky. So, sorry, Tennessee, you got pegged with owning that one. But we know you didn't do it. It's Kentucky. What? Kentucky Patriots, you got to get him out of there. Anyway, stated Tuesday afternoon, this last Tuesday, he fully intends to support the nomination of President Joe Biden's, which is imposter puppet, Chinese puppet Joe Biden's attorney general nominee, Merrick Garland. So, and also, I'm glad they pointed this out. Garland, by the way, has unconstitutional views on the Second Amendment, supportive views of anti-white bigots, and politically biased classification of domestic terrorism. This is going to be the one that's going to be putting out the marching orders to be, you know, criminally charging patriots and calling them extremists. Terrorists, essentially. He just said, I do, when he's asked if he was going to support it. Sad. Now, Redoubt News doing a great job of covering a lot of stuff. There's an article here, though, in the scope of what we're up against. A contributing writer wrote this about lawmakers in Idaho proposing, only some of them are proposing, raising a tax by as much as 10% on the state's already high assessment of 32 cents per gallon of fuel tax. But apparently this is supposed to be covering schools, if I read it right. But I'm thinking, you know, at this point, we just had a coup. We just lost the Republic. We have communists taking over. And it's almost like gas taxes and things like that. It's almost like a distraction to get you to look at things that really are not an existential threat to you. It's in the scope of things, might cost you a few hundred dollars over the year. But this communist regime throwing away the independent energy position that we held because of President Trump. We were energy independent. Look at the low fuel prices that we've seen. absolutely plummeted the price. As a matter of fact, almost too low. They had to bring it back because their energy industry companies were looking at folding, and they're needed. So anyway, that's the official explanation of it. So it is now. This gas tax hike is nothing. 10% hike on our fuel over 10% of the tax increase on fuel is nothing compared to what we're going to see because of this regime of $4, $5, $6, $7 a gallon at some point. And that's not even counting in the hyperinflation that we're being warned about. So another article, though. Good article. Good job. Turning gun owners into felons. This is a biggie. Anything, this is what we need to focus on. I think not so much on, micro things about taxes on fuel, but the things that are going to criminalize us, things that are going to use to justify incarcerating us or exterminating us, criminalizing us, because that's the path that we're on. So, out of the Oregon Firearms Federation, the Democrats passed SB 554. It's the go to the library, go to the prison bill out of committee now on a party line vote. The bill was amended with the Dash 10 amendment. That amendment removes parking garages from the places where a concealed weapons license holder can be arrested for having lawfully carried a firearm. It changes the language in the bill. So while in the original bill, you could be charged with a felony just by being near an airport, now you would have to go into the terminal to face felony charges. Senator Floyd Prozanski claimed that this change addressed the quote-unquote misinformation. They love doing that. When they get busted and they have to change something, they call it misinformation when somebody's holding them accountable. This is the left's latest tactic, which is a communist tactic, to flip things and project on to you what they're actually doing. So they're saying you were spreading misinformation about their anti-gun bill. They actually got busted. They had to rewrite it because they look like total tyrants. So now it's misinformation that they're adding clarification to. But anyway, he was saying this misinformation was being spread about the original bill and the risk of being arrested near the airport. In fact, once again, Prozanski was using his typical misdirection because that is exactly what the bill did. It wasn't misinformation. Before you think that exempting parking lots is a step forward, consider that under the amendment, the amended bill, you would be forced to leave an unprotected firearm in your car and now be totally defenseless in locations that are known crime magnets. Needless to say, anyone using the mass transit Democrats like to push is totally out of luck. We won't even go into those who travel by electric scooter, the article reads. Good job. And that's posted over there at Redoubt News. From Rhino Pack, that's the Rhino Hunters of the Pacific Northwest, always doing a great job, and they really do. But their website has a page called Stark Raving Mad. Stark Raving Mad news stories that we see across the country, this madness and lunacy, which is actually just blurring with normal headlines anymore. But they picked up on one something very unique that a lot of people have been talking about, and that's the availability of ammunition, firearms, especially ammunition or reloading components. But this is actually about 10 days old now, but I didn't pick up on it for last week. So every Thursday evening, a North Idaho-based auction house, auctiondepot.net, holds an internet auction where people from all over the nation, but mostly locals, bid on a variety of goods. A portion of their auction, generally around 50 to 75 lots, are firearms and firearm-related stuff, frequently ammunition. In late January, we reported what we considered to be a fluke, where ammunition was selling for unheard-of prices. Our assessment of being fluke was premature, the outrageous prices continue. Once the 10% buyer commission and 6% sales tax is included, today's auction had common everyday 22 ammo selling for over $110 per brick before the panic price was less than $20. 44 Magnum, final price was $2.08 per cartridge. Standard everyday 12-gauge buckshot after commission sold for an outlandish $3.07 per shell. A box of large rifle primers, normal price, 2.5 to 3 cents each, sold after commission for $220.40 for a 1,000% increase. It seems doubtful Biden's Nazi-era plan for a firearms confiscation will unfold peacefully. So, yeah, lots of reports. Black Sheep seems to have the most availability and best prices, except North 40. North 40's been actually getting lots of shipments of ammo. So be checking North 40 as well. And their prices are actually comparatively reasonable. And you got to be Johnny on the spot and be there. But yeah, for ammunition, well, ammunition's almost forget about it. But the reloading components, they're starting to get more of those in. So yeah, Green Tip, 5.56 ammo, 9mm. It's getting expensive and it's getting more rare to find. So it kind of puts a damper on your plinking. But this is the times that we're in. Okay, let's take a break. Come back right after this. And then, segment two coming up with Selkirk Mountain Real Estate sponsoring that one. And get into some of these current event items. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
Podcasts are equal.
Minutemen Coffee Company, born out of the idea of freedom, liberty, and the patriot movement sweeping across this great nation that we call home. Single origin, whole bean coffee, roasted and blended to perfection in small batches when you order. Minutemen Coffee is delivered to your door for the freshest, most robust whole bean coffee you've ever tasted. Coffee is the second most important item for your preps next to water, so why not have the best coffee in your preps? Check us out on the web at www.minutemencoffee.com. Minutemencoffee.com.
Welcome back to segment two of Radio Free Redoubt. We are, episode 2106, the sixth episode of 2021. And this is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the panhandle of North Idaho, specifically Boundary County, especially. Great folks. And I think I threw that out, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Now, last week, I covered a couple of things. PJ Media, DHS announcing that they're going to be looking for right-wing extremists. They released a report. There we go. I can say it. They released a report stating that right-wing extremists committed the most deadly terrorist attacks last year. Can you believe that? While in how many cities across our country, which were burning, police cars turned over, people shot, gunned down in the street, calling for the defunding or the killing of police, killing of Trump supporters, which means, Christian conservative patriots, American patriots, and this is the kind of garbage that they're putting out. Also, the military's internal battle with white supremacy and far-right extremism. Well, we saw this garbage coming from a long ways off as well. But this is what communists do. They always lie. They always will lie. They always have false accusations. You're an anti-government. You're racist. You're whatever it is. So I wanted to I love Winston Churchill. It's one of our favorites of Lady Liberty's and mine favorites. But in mid-1930s, so we're coming up, we're coming, approaching World War II, London, England, and he is quoted at that time in the mid-1930s with this saying, "If you will not fight for right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory is sure and not too costly, you will come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance of survival. There may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Winston Churchill. So yesterday we got to hear from our leadership, and it was good. It was good to hear the American president, when so far the news, if you look at the news, and sometimes if you access the internet, you're going to have stuff thrown up in your face that you didn't really ask to see, like the black-faced, decrepit old man that is the Chinese puppet, and hearing nothing from or seeing the communist puppet president, but not ever seeing the American president. So it was really good. It was good to see a lot of those leaders and governors and senators and congressmen and other influential, you know, leaders that are patriots, mouthpieces, pundits, whatever you want to call them, actually, you know, say some really inspiring things and call black and white, black and white. So that was good. But really, it's really going to be on. I just don't want, I mean, I feel like Lucy with the football, you know, and Charlie Brown, and saying, "Oh, it was good to hear from Trump. Oh, okay. He's going to be running for president in 2024. It's going to be, it's all good now. I feel warm and fuzzy." But guys, fighting for America, winning to take America back, to wrestle control from the communists, if we're able to do that, if, and I say that because, you know, I mean, if we're in the end times, we're headed toward a one world government, one world religion, one world economy, you know, nation, national borders, and sovereign nations as we know them will be dissolved, other than just in name. If we're not quite there yet, and say we still have 5, 7 to 10 years before we reach that point, you know, that's a nice warm and fuzzy feeling to think that Trump could, you know, run in 4 years and could win if they can fix enough of this voter fraud stuff that the Republicans are all fired up about and promising to go after and address. I don't have a whole lot of hope in it. It sounds hopeful and I like to hear it, but we cannot be counting on Trump saving the day. It's on us. Thomas Jefferson is not here. Samuel Adams is not here. George Washington is not here. We are here. This is on us. And just like them, they were called extremists. They were called terrorists. So it's no different. And when that happened, some patriots they backpedaled. No, I'm not. I'm not that. So the sunshine patriot will shrink away in this time. So this is on us. And right now we need to really start. First of all, we talk about prepping food, water, shelter, medical, communications, that kind of stuff. That's prepping for anything. That covers earthquakes, floods, wildfires, natural disasters, pestilence, whatever it might be, drought and famine. But from a patriot's perspective, the focus isn't on prepping. Prepping is, it's what you do to remove one critical component, from being a factor in prohibiting you from effectively being a patriot. If you're starving to death and watching your kids starve to death, it's really kind of hard to think about standing against tyrants that are hauling people off in cattle cars. trying to do work with an alternative, maybe rebuilding afterward, or trying to effectively work with people in your communities to fight those type of policies. So we prep. My personal family philosophy is we prep so that we aren't going to be starving, so that we can focus on the patriot side of things and preserving American, Christian, American ideals. And also so that we can minister to others. A few handfuls of people that we selectively choose that we're able to help. Not one of those, we're coming to your house if things go bad, because we know that you store up. Sadly, there are people that have that type of mentality. But we need to really understand our heritage and what we stand for and who we are. And we got a lot of catching up to do in comparison to our founding fathers. They're much more biblically, scripturally literate, which we need to get to. They also had studied history. And they were self-reliant in just because of who they were. So we need to really surround ourselves with some things that are going to, you know, educate us, equip us, and inform us. There's an event coming up, and this is a good example of what I'm talking about. You need to really start building frith within your own. And John Mosby's got some great stuff, material on this. Survival Blog has been covering this stuff for years about building the community with people that you trust. But you also have to have the right mindset. And there's the Red Pill Expo you guys have all heard about. We had one in Spokane a couple of years ago. It was great. This year they're going to be, I think, in South Dakota. But there's the Red Pill Festival, which will be here semi-locally in the American Redoubt. On July 24th, so put that on your calendar, on July 24th in St. Regis, Montana, which is about 30 minutes on the past the Idaho-Montana border, headed east, obviously. So at the St. Regis Community Park in Montana for a full day of great music, delicious food, and enjoyment for all ages. Be edified by some of the most profound local speakers of the day. Ooh, I like the sound of that. Because I'm on the list, that makes you feel good. But that's probably not talking about me. It's talking about some of the others. But it's still cool. All right, on the current state of affairs of this great republic we call the United States of America. So it is free admission, open to the public. The guest speakers are, and I've got a list of them, they've added quite a few more to those. They actually have a website now, so get ready to write this down. If you got a pen and paper, or if you just got a great memory, it's July 24th, but the website is theredpillfestival.com. Don't forget to add the Red Pill Festival, V-A-L, festival.com, and that will take you to it. So, guest speakers, Derek Skies, Montana State Rep, District 11. He's the Master of Ceremonies. Okay, and it's kind of separated. It looked, I didn't see that. Okay, so he's also going to be the MC. John Jacob Schmidt, talk show host, Radio Free Redoubt, and founder of Amron. Heather Scott, Idaho State Representative, District 1, I think. Yeah. Let's see. What else? Oh, Caleb Collier, John Birch Society, Executive Field Coordinator. He's also with us on the Liberty State Committee. He's been around for a long time. He's former Marine, former EMT, former City Councilman for Spokane Valley. He also is the host along with Gabe over there at Church and State, also on Liberty Broadcasting. The Executive Field Coordinator for the John Birch Society, he's going to be speaking on the Constitution, JBS, and the game plan to take back our republic. Lady Liberty, of course, also talk show host, Radio Free Redoubt, and author. She's also going to be releasing, should have that, Her next book, released by that date to have available there, also talking about, well, a lot of things. The rule of law, the Constitution, and from a biblical perspective, really good stuff. Can always expect good stuff from her. So have that to look forward to. And Senator Bob Brown, Montana District 7. Joey Gibson from Patriot Prayer. Pastor Matt Shea, you heard that right. He's a pastor now I think it's New Covenant or Covenant. New Covenant. Anyway, Matt Shea will be speaking. He's a former state rep from District 4 outside of Spokane. Pastor Afshin Yagtin from the New Covenant Baptist Church. And he's also the editor, I think he's the senior editor at Saved Magazine. Excellent, excellent publication that we strongly endorse. SavedMag.com if you want to check that out. And I saw also Jennifer Fielder, Senator Jennifer Fielder. I haven't seen her in a few years, but that'd be really good. It's good to see her on the docket. She's really got the property rights issues down from a congressional standpoint and some of the things that they are doing to fight for property rights. So that will be good as well. Oh, and then there's another event coming up too here just in a couple of weeks, less than a couple of weeks now. March 13th, Saturday, March 13th from noon to 4 p.m. is a fundraiser for local patriots. It is the spaghetti lunch and live auction for Panhandle Patriots Riding Club. That's the Panhandle Patriots Riding Club, and of course we're motorcycle riders ourselves, so it's it'd be cool to help support that. But they were very much involved with the part of the response in Coeur d'Alene last year when Antifa, Black Lives Matter, were planning and stating that they were coming there to break stuff, and the Patriots turned out en masse. These guys are on the front edge of that. So anyway, they're raising funds. Matt Shea will be speaking at that event as well. I will be speaking, and Lady Liberty will also be speaking. That's going to be March 13th at the Silver Fox on Appleway Avenue in Coeur d'Alene. So you can check that out. And you can go to redoubtnews.com. They've got a posting up there. I'll stick one up on Radio Free Redoubt as well, and we'll get that up on Gab. So, all right, let's go ahead and take a quick break and come back with Lady Liberty joining us, and we'll wrap things up with a 3-segment show tonight. I've got mountains of other stuff that I could talk about and that I wanted to talk about, but so that's where we're at. We're going to do three segments tonight. So far, so good on the internet holding up. All right, stay right there. John Jacob Schmidt. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision-fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back. The third and final segment for this evening's podcast here at Radio Free Redoubt. Got Lady Liberty in the studio joining me for this last segment, usually segment 4, but we've been just doing 3 segments here for the last couple of weeks, coming out of a very trying season in our lives, haven't we?
Yes, it has been. It's it's one of those things where you kind of go, well, if you've lived on a farm, you kind of are generally used to things being challenging, right? You know, you've always got the elements, you know, the weather, and you've got challenges with keeping all of your livestock fed and those kind of things. And so you get used to those types of things.
Sure.
However, this last season that you and I went through was a little different than that.
4 months of all of it coming in at once. The logistics of it were just insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Where these were not farm issues. These right. were, these were very bizarre electronics attacks. Everything that should not, that was not, it wasn't weather related or
right.
supply related. It was nothing of the sort. You know, it was all yeah. just a matter of, a crazy, bizarre happenstance, along with, you know, wind storms and craziness.
Yeah. And on top of that, the emotional component of it, seeing what's happening to your country, to seeing your country stolen.
Yes, all of it at the same time.
While you're dealing with, you know, broken pipes and internet was out for 10 days at a time, twice. And, well, the second time it would come on, but it would be so weak. You could maybe exchange some emails and then it would go out for hours.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was that compounded it. I mean, I was just, everyone was so depressed just watching what just happened.
Right.
On top of dealing with logistical issues and things breaking. And it felt like a massive spiritual attack, just massive.
Yes.
Maybe it was, but
we had one new Amron member that said, did they really lose internet? How were they able to do their daily show if they lost their internet? Oh. and I went, well, gosh,
that's when you want to grab by the ear and say, okay, you know what, pal, you want to know how we did it?
Yeah.
we actually drove to town. Yep. We drove to town. Use the cell phone as a hotspot to access the internet.
Yep.
Do triage on the most critical emails. Like what is like, is somebody dying or something, you know, doing research for the show.
Yep.
Trying to compile it and there's no restaurants open, right? To sit down with and use Wi-Fi and have a cup of coffee. So you're in your vehicle. So it's just a mess. Logistically, it's just, and plus it was like single digits.
Yep. And so then we'd race back home.
We race back home, record the next morning's show because we didn't have a live link to the station. So we run home, we record, takes hour and a half to get everything put together and everything, and then drive, you know, 8 miles back to town, get a connection, upload it to the station, and then you're hauling water.
Yep.
And we were hauling water. And what else? So the internet was out. We're hauling water.
All the electronics.
Without the main primary vehicle because it was in the shop.
That's right. Yes. And whole swaths of the house electrical units, electrical sockets went out.
The whole section where the studio and the ham radio station, everything is like poof.
Yep.
And, yeah. So
actually,
when somebody says, how were you able to do a show? Were you claim your power was out, but I've been waiting. And I was like, not to mention because of the socio-political stuff, like everybody who has been dragging their feet for 10 years, I should get into ham radio. I should look. They all decide to join Amron.
Yes,
right
at the same time.
January, right. When all this is happening, the world's ending. I should probably look into communications. At the worst possible moments, we're just—it was just unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. Finally, we're able to feel like we're got our heads above water.
I know,
and breathing. So I know some folks have asked me, "How are you guys doing? You haven't heard? I'm like, haven't you been listening?" So we don't want to talk about this every show.
We don't want to
put it behind us. You know, try to Charlie Mike, right? Continue the mission. Just keep driving on. And it's one of those. It was one of those seasons that was just. It was wild. So we're still in catch up mode, but we've got critical stuff taken care of. There are a few. Hey, if you joined up with Amron now, and you have not heard anything, something's wrong. So please contact. Just shoot me an email, johnjacob@radiofreeread.com or johnjacob@amron.com. Both of them come right into the same, you know, my Thunderbird email. I see both of them coming at the same time. So either one, shoot an email to me, say, hey, I signed up for, you know, 6 weeks ago or whatever. And I'll get you in touch with Lady Liberty and we'll get you taken care of.
Because I'm the new admin also. We lost our admin person in the same time, all in the same season. And so, Yep, it's been interesting.
Yeah, so just to let you guys know, I mean, it's been unusually wild and crazy.
And I would, you know, I'm not too worried about any of this stuff because these are the end times. And this isn't even anywhere near as bad as it's going to get, you know. And so I kind of look at this and go, okay, well, you know, take it in stride. And it's going to get a lot worse.
I know we'll be talking
to Revelations.
Our future selves will be coming back going, oh, you poor thing, you had to haul water. You had access to water that you can haul.
Right.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah. Wait till you see what's coming.
Yeah. Wait till there's no food.
Right.
Well we don't. So anyway.
You know, what I wanted to cover tonight is, I think, very important for both the mind and the spirit of the nation right now, because, I mean, it was so wonderful to be able to listen to Trump, you know, more or less back in the saddle, so to speak, or he's not really, but just to hear him speaking in the same manner that he was prior to the election
prior to
the inauguration.
It was strange listening to him talk about the Biden administration implementing policies when it felt like he was still the president. You felt like it was like a bad dream, you know, and there he is. His spirits are high. He's got his wits. He's snarky. He's, you know.
He's back to himself again.
Yeah, this is President Trump. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that was kind of a relief. But at the same time, you also knew that he's not sitting in the Oval Office.
Right.
You know, so he's saying all these things and talking about changing all of these things. And you and I were discussing how there's lots of steps in between for us to get from A to you know, I said C, you know, there's some steps in between those two points that we have to achieve in order for us to regain any sort of legal situation in this nation. Right.
Right.
And so what are those things? These are the questions that every, you know, traditional American is asking right now, because we've just been left hanging. And so everybody's going, what do we do? Are we supposed to take up arms and defend our nation right now? What are we supposed to do? And so, I felt like,
we're in the tween stage. We're tween two places. That's right.
Where what we're functioning under is not a legal system. We're in this oddest coup stage of American history. You know, I mean, we've never seen this before, so it's no wonder nobody knows what to do.
Well, it's like strange. It's like waking up, you know, for a child to wake up and there's a strange man and a woman saying, no, we're your mom and dad. No, you need to go get dressed and come and eat breakfast. And you're like, you're not my mom and dad.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. You know? Who are you?
But they're operating like a family. They're pretending to be a family.
They're
going through the motions.
And they're lying to you saying, oh no, this is how it's supposed to be. You're going, no, it's not.
And they're like, no, you're not our son. You're our daughter now.
Right. They're going, no.
Maybe surgery all lined up.
Well, and so I wanted to address it from two different aspects where we are all, well, the majority of us that are in this audience are Christian patriots. And so we know that there's two aspects to our lives. It's not just, you know, politics and everything of the world, right? We are also spiritual. Yeah. We're spiritual beings. We're representatives of God and Christ, and we are to be walking our faith right now. And so addressing it first from that aspect, because Christ is always first. And so, you know, first, let's all keep in mind, I'm going to give a list of things that we can all do, no matter where we live. In fact, the more spread out we are that this message is received, the better off that is. And so, things that we can do. First of all, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, right? And so if you look in Philippians. I'm constantly wanting to call it Philippians. If you look in Philippians chapter 1, there's some very, very important advice there. In chapter 1, verse 19 through 26, let me just read through that. It says, "To live is Christ." And it reads, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ in my coming to you again." And so that's a really important text. He's saying that, yes, of course, we go forth in all boldness. As always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. So while we're here, we need to more or less seize the moment. We need to share the gospel. We need to call people, both the church and the enemy, to repentance. Mm-hmm. We need to be alive, knowing that we have a limited amount of time that we can help the kingdom of Jesus Christ, right? And bring in the harvest.
And that window's getting narrower.
Yes, this is without a doubt end times. And then he says, whether by life or by death. And then he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Right.
So keep that in mind in your fearlessness and how you walk your faith, because you can't lose. If you're saved, you've repented, you've been baptized, you're saved, right? You can only win at this stage in the game, mm-hmm. right? And always have the perspective of looking back. Like, just imagine you're in heaven and you're being given crowns for, you know, all of the cool things that you did on behalf of the kingdom.
Right.
Keep that in mind when you're, think of that perspective, that you might be of service to God and be glorifying him, that, you know, you're storing up treasures for yourself in heaven.
Yep.
By the fruits of your faith, as we have time to do right now. And so, you know, always, fearlessness is the key. And let me read just a little further, because this is also important. It says, striving and suffering for Christ. So it reads in verses 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. And so, you know, he's saying, yeah, you have every reason to be fearless, right? You know,
right.
who cares if the communists are calling you names?
Right.
Who cares? I mean, all the way to, you know, sure, they can kill the body, but hey, absent from the body, present with the Lord, we can only win. So keep that in mind as well. So, so I just wanted to kind of remind everyone of things we can do. First, spiritually, walk our faith. Walk our faith and do it boldly, in a manner that you'll be so proud of once you're looking back when you're in heaven with the Lord.
Yep.
You'll be like, yes, it was dark, and it was a dark time, and I was bold. I shone brightly for the Lord, and, you know, I laid it out flat. I walked my faith. And so, this is our opportunity to shine big time.
Good.
And so,
we got about 5 minutes left.
Yes.
So you know,
right.
Cause I don't have the timer up for you, which
helps.
It's helped. It's very helpful for both of us. I forgot to set it up for you, but yeah, go ahead.
Right. And then so that's what each and every one of us can do spiritually. Now, let me look at reframe things from a political standpoint. What do we do about our nation right now, right? Oh my gosh, we've just gone through a communist coup. Well, at the state level, we can encourage our legislators to block all the Biden executive orders, just like they're doing in Oklahoma, just like they're doing in Texas.
Several states, yeah.
Yep. North Dakota. I believe South Dakota is doing it as well, aren't they?
I'm sure. Under
right?
Governor Noem, yeah.
Yep, that's right. She's just awesome. And so another thing you can do at the state level is this is kind of both a state and county level combined action, where what you can do is demand action from your state Republican Party. From the state level, you can address the state level through your county level Republican Party.
Yes. And people don't know that.
Yeah. And see, these guys have raised so much money through Trump.
Yep.
I mean, Trump has just lined their pockets so much so that we need to be making demands of them right now. We need to be telling them, you guys use this money and your authority to get rid of these electronic voting machines.
Yep. I just want to add to that. Okay. Because it feels like at Washington, D.C., the government is beyond your reach.
Right.
But they're really not. They're through locally. Get involved locally in your local Republican Party in your county. They have been absolutely taken over by patriots in so many pockets because they got fired up. They got involved at the local level. They're holding Republicans that are rhinos accountable. And here's the other thing, too. These people that are turning on Trump or turning on our country or not fighting against this coup or the regime or even speaking out against it, you can censure them for not following through with their oath, with their party platform. If they're failing, you can hold them accountable by censuring them and withholding funds when they come up for reelection. You get to choose who you're going to back. And
that's
if these
right.
people aren't doing it, you withhold their funds. And that's how you get these people replaced. And it'll strike the fear into the rest of them.
That's right. And remind them that you know how much money they brought in. They brought in over $350 million just in the past few months, right, at the national level. And they need to be getting suggestions and demands from the lower level telling them what to do with that money.
That's right.
And how they can actually help the nation, for crying out loud. And that means we're talking Trump's idea of A between points A and Z, right? How do we get him to the point where next time he runs, he's not going to be wiped out by this fraudulent electronic voting system where we'll actually have some power of our vote again, right?
Yep.
How do we get from A to B where we currently have zero power of the vote because of these electronic voting machines, and Z, where we have actually regained our power of the vote. And so that's where we need to be looking at as a goal in order to support getting him back into office where he rightfully belongs to begin with.
Oh, and not just the machines, but a huge portion of the theft was from governors making unilateral decisions on how they were going to vote that went against their constitutions.
That's right. Just flat out overrode them.
Absolutely did not have the authority to do it.
That's right.
And so what they're doing is they're directing their state, what is it? Not auditor. They're not attorney general. They're the Secretary of State.
Yeah, Secretary of State.
No,
right.
you're going to run the elections this way.
Yeah.
But it says, I know, but this is an emergency because of COVID. So I have executive power. I have emergency powers. Like, okay, all right. And then this happens. This is coordinated, though, through the Council of Governors.
Right.
They strategize on this kind of stuff. And so this is the other attack surface. The attack avenue of attack would be for legislators to really go go after limiting the emergency powers, what that means, defining it.
Yep, that's right. Exactly. So those, both of those can be, are addressing the state and county level. Right. And so at the, let's bring it all the way down, right, to where you are, in your house. So at the town and city level, what you can do is you can go out and just make it a point to talk to one or two businesses and say, hey, you know, you guys can establish business solidarity, and you have power in numbers by collectively deciding to group together.
Yes.
Even if it's just two or three of you at a time, saying, hey, you know what? We are going to fight off communism by retaining our middle class. Our small businesses are
right.
Essentially the middle class.
Yep.
And so the only way that we can retain our middle class that will keep us from being a feudalist system that the communists are trying to achieve again.
Right. Soviet.
Is, yes, exactly. Is by business solidarity and just refusing to close. And so if they attack you, you group together, you can afford an attorney if you've got a whole bunch of you, and you know, power in numbers.
We've seen
open
this.
Open your businesses as
yep.
as a means of civil disobedience. And so that is what you can do for your town, for
right.
your city, right? And then of course on the personal level, bring it right into your very own house. On the personal level, you can attack communism back by walking your faith and refusing to participate in a lie, in any lie.
Yep.
You're not going to support the lie of wearing a mask, that this
yep.
this scamdemic is an actual legitimate pandemic. It's not true. It's a lie, and the masks have never even worked, even if there was a massive virus that was going to be a
right.
pandemic. It's a lie on top of a lie.
Participating in a lie.
Right. And so walk your faith. Refuse to participate in the lie. So that's all the way down from the state to the personal level, right in your own house.
Right.
So
absolutely.
So there's lots of things we can be
yep.
can be doing, each and every one of us across the whole nation right now.
Yeah. And we're seeing that work with the businesses. It's working when they're brave enough to do it, they are prevailing.
Yep.
Yep. The states are backing down.
They're
on
not
this.
Paying fines.
Yeah. They're not paying it. Nope,
yep. The law
happening.
Can't actually work against them. They're finding out they actually have no merit at all.
That's right. That's right. So this is all good. And look, maybe resisting civil disobedience is something maybe you just haven't worked the courage up to be able to do yet. Then at least, you know, hey, I'll lose my job if I don't wear a mask, or you know, I'm in some type of environment like that. Okay, fine. But we're seeing way too many people do it where it's not being enforced. Make them make you. If you're
yeah,
not just
right.
going to outright defy, at least don't go, oh, I forgot. I see people walk up to a door and they see a sign. And they go, oh, darn. And they go back to the car and they get their mask and then they go back in, right?
Yeah.
But nobody's saying a word to anybody who's not wearing a mask.
That's right.
It's not
being enforced. We're proof of that. We never wear one and nobody says anything to us.
We've had a few stores that have. And we're like, we'll just never go back there again.
But we make them work for it.
Oh, we don't. So don't comply, especially when it's not even being enforced and you don't have to. That's like, you know, self... putting on your own set of chains before you go into the store, you know,
that's right.
Locking shackles on. So yeah, don't do it. But well, hey, we're out of time. That went fast. It was good stuff, good information, and we'll continue on every morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute. You can listen
right.
to the live stream of that if you're outside the coverage area by going to www.acn. That's the American Christian Network. This is the radio network. So it's acn.cc, not com.cc. acn.cc. When that page opens up, click on the Liberty Bell, and that will take you to the listening page. So,
yep,
yeah,
that's right.
Looking forward to it. All right, you guys have a blessed week. You be safe out there. Stay frosty. And, just be alert.
Stay warm, but stay frosty.
Yeah, there you go. Got lots to cover. All right, Kate, you guys, God bless you. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Good night.